B-Pod Studios.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Adam Schefter.
The Raiders.
Free! The freedom bell ring got me fly like a free! Fly like an eagle! Let's go!
Free!
Let's go! Oh, free. Oh. Oh. Yes,
sir.
Grandma, they freed me! They freed me, Grandma!
I told you
about what now. Ah, God is the greatest.
'95, the Sports Hub. That's right. God was on the cloud, and he was like, "Let's get Antonio out of Oakland." They're not being nice to him. All right. There was an interesting news story that came out that is almost—it's eerily reminiscent to the movie Big Fan, including the team that it was involved.
Yeah, this is something that. I ended up watching the video of this guy in court, and it's one of those things where, you know what, I'll give you my commentary afterwards, but there was a Giants fan from Rhode Island who got in a lot of trouble this week.
New York Giants fan is accused of threatening to shoot people at Gillette Stadium. Prosecutors say that he was actually upset over the Pats' newest signing. Tobias Gray appeared in court today wearing a Giants jersey.
And police say
I'm sure the Giants were really proud of that. Yeah, all right.
So this movie, Big Fan. Patton Oswalt plays a guy that works as a parking lot attendant, and he lives with his parents, but the only thing he cares about is the Giants. And he calls into sports talk stations with, like, a script, and he goes and, like, there's a guy who talks down to him on the radio, so he goes and shoots him with paintballs. Well, anyway, he goes to this club and sees one of the Giant players, and he's like, "Hey, it's good to see you." And the Giant player beats him almost to death, and he could have gotten millions and millions of dollars, but he refuses to press charges because he loves the Giants so much. And, yeah, this is like where the fandom gets, Big Fan, by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. But yeah, this is when it gets very, very crazy.
Well, the thing is, too, with this guy wearing the Giants, do you remember when To Catch a Predator was on and one of the guys got arrested? To Catch a Predator is one where they would set up these stings where they would get these people trying to hook up with underage, like, you know, the kids. And the guy showed up, and Chris Hansen's sitting there, and the dude was wearing a Dropkick Murphys shirt.
Yeah.
Remember we talked to Tim from the Dropkick Murphys? Like, dude, that's the last place you want to see your band being advertised.
Well, I don't know.
Someone's watching this.
It's on network television.
Well, someone's seeing
this. Eyes, like, on that thing.
This guy thinks, man, the Giants are going to be so happy I wore this to court. No, I don't think they really wanted that.
No, but it's good to know that he's such a fan.
Wearing a Giants jersey.
And police say that he posted a threat on Facebook that he wanted to shoot random people at Gillette. WBZ's Lisa Greshy has the story you saw first on WBZ.
By the way, that'll show the organization. Hey, how would you shoot? Let's shoot this guy that went to a Patriots game.
Who had nothing to do with anything.
No, well, obviously, even if you did, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But, I mean, come on. These guys don't care about you at all.
The man's attorney tells us that he didn't mean the Facebook post as a threat, adding that he's a Giants fan who's upset that the Patriots will be that much better with Antonio Brown.
Tobias Gray sported a Giants jersey before a Providence judge this morning. The 44-year-old faces charges there for simple and domestic assault and threatening police officers at the time of his arrest.
He's always arguing with his girlfriend, always fighting out here, always going crazy.
By the way, his neighbor refusing to put down the box of juju bees that she's crushing during the interview.
When do you get juju bees out? When are they? I thought they were strictly available at the movies. This might have, like, who? Where, juju bees? Are you sure they were juju bees?
Okay, I'll have to find it. It looked like juju bees.
Juju bees unavailable anywhere. Who the hell eats juju bees?
Let me pull up the story.
My goodness. So she's snacking on some candy. By the way, this guy's got a girlfriend. If I'm him, I'm not fighting with her no matter what. You be happy. Oh, that is funny. Juju bees.
I'll let you be the judge. It's either Juju bees or gobstoppers. I couldn't
tell.
Well,
gobstoppers are the same thing as Juju bees. Like, you can't just go out and get them.
Yeah. It's,
right?
Like, she's just eating a candy apple.
It's just weird.
Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, Mike and Ike's are all right.
But I never thought he would do that.
Some of Gray's neighbors saw him being taken out of his home in handcuffs.
They just went in and got him and all the police officers.
What they didn't know, police in Massachusetts had a hold of one of his Facebook posts.
Oh, dear. Well, that's an awful scary. It's an awful thing to say. I don't know. I'm surprised. I'm surprised at him.
In the now deleted post from Gray's Facebook.
All right, what candy is that, Fred?
Those might be Sour Patch Kids.
That's not Sour Patch Kids, are they?
I couldn't tell you. Look at the nutritional information. Maybe we could get something from that.
Just imagine, all you can see is the back right. of it. But she refuses to put them down while doing the interview.
All right, okay. So this is actually pretty funny. So this woman comes out of, they knock on her door, obviously, and say, do you know the guy? And she has just been inside with a movie-sized thing of candy.
And she refuses to put them down.
Yeah, she's just like, it doesn't mean I have to. Someone might take it.
Oh, Facebook. I got a clear shot. Oh, I can't tell. Darn it.
From Gray's Facebook, it read in part, "You might as well hand them the ring now. If I ever get my hands on a gun, which I don't have one yet, but I'm looking, I will go shoot random people at Foxborough." His attorney tells us he was just venting.
He didn't really get into why. He's a Giants fan, apparently.
His family declined comment. In the report from the Foxborough Police Department, it was discovered there were pictures of Gray holding guns on his Facebook, too, raising the bar of concern for police and those who have been living next to Gray all along.
It's very serious. He shouldn't have did that.
These terroristic threat charges...
Nothing tells you it's serious more than...
continuing to crush...
Yeah.
Whatever, snow caps or whatever you're eating.
Snow caps? Wow. I don't even know if they make snow caps anymore.
Grand slam of movie candy you guys are going for. That's impressive. Snow caps.
Snow caps. Boy, that is something you don't hear every day. Yeah, I'm real worried. Handful of snow caps.
All along.
It's very serious. He shouldn't have did that.
These terroristic threat charges are felonies, and as the Foxborough Police Department continues their investigation, Gray is expected to be arraigned at Rentham District Court within the next couple of days.
Hell yeah, you can go see Zolak.
I just tweeted out the photo. At Toucher and Rich, we need help identifying what candy she refuses to put down during this interview.
Because the only thing better if it was like a brown bag of candy. Chris, go ahead.
What's up, guys? I was in the roofers union with this guy about 4 years ago, and he was a clown back then, always wearing a Giants jersey. That was the only reason I recognized him. I saw that thing on Fox News. I saw his court picture. I'm like, I know that idiot. And sure enough, that's the guy.
Yeah,
what a freaking donkey.
Well, that's like, I mean, he's obviously got something mentally wrong with him.
I mean, you could go to his Facebook, and they've pulled up a bunch of ones, and it's always talking about the Gaytriots. And how awful the Gaytriots are.
Oh, good.
That's how he continues to call the Patriots that. And my whole thing is that, dude, you're 44. What are you doing to wear a sport where, as you said, Fred, these athletes don't give a rat's ass about you, and it changes your life in no way, shape, or form, whether they win or lose, that it affects you that much that you have to go online and say you're going to shoot people because of it?
Well, he's obviously got something wrong with him.
Well, I mean,
even if you go by what this guy says, Adam 12 is chiming in that it's Dots.
He says it's Dots. Oh, Dots are pretty funny. The grossest movie theater candy ever.
They're saying Dots.
I'm hearing Gobstoppers.
So Dots, at least you see, you know, out in the wild somewhere.
Oh, hang on.
Mike and Ike, you see all the time, too. Yeah.
That might be Gobstoppers. Somebody sent me a picture of the box, and I see the front of it.
Oh, all right.
It does kind of look like crushing Gobstoppers.
She loves it.
Because you know what's great about Gobstoppers? It takes you like 5 minutes to finish a Gobstopper.
Oh, yeah, Gobstoppers are like the super hard ones, right?
Yeah, they have layers that change colors.
Yeah, you can't bite them right.
Right, no.
So to have a box, that meant that you've been holding them for at least more than 5 minutes.
No, she's like all day, just eating Gobstoppers. It's like dip to her. She's like, puts the Gobstoppers between her cheek and gum.
The female version of dip? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
She's just You know?
The gobstopper. You just put it right between your cheek and gum, and away you go.
Yeah, then you're gobstopper. Going about your business.
Every once in a while, it's purple when you pull it out, and then it's orange.
Yep. We have a winner.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us a back of a gobstopper's box, and that's exactly what she's crushing. I mean, gobstoppers is the funniest because if it was Raisinets, no caps, you could have like four or five and swallow it, and then have another four or five.
Nope.
Gobstoppers take 5 minutes each, which means she's either rocking one and then another one, or she's got two or three at a time.
Her tongue is the color of the gobstopper.
Because the idea of like it's like someone who smokes that always has to have smokes on them. Like she always has to have gobstoppers in her hand.
Yep.
All right.
We're talking with a woman with a purple tongue. What happened to you?
Your lips were all smeared.
Yeah.
All right. Looking like the Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison. All right. Well, that's the best part of that story.
No question. This is the best.
The woman's eating gobstoppers.
You got to go to Toucher Rich and look at this picture. Like, just refuses to put it down and puts it, like, prominently. And she had to keep it near her face in case in the middle of talking there was an emergency. Like, gobstopper run.
Oh, my God.
Like, she had, like, almost like it's a tick. She has to get those gobstoppers in at any given point.
She answered the door with a box of gobstoppers in her hand. She's just sitting at home eating gobstopper. All right, Jeff Howe's going to join us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
The Pats have it at the Steeler 20 with an empty set. 3 receivers right, 2 left. Shotgun snap to Brady, backs up, 4-man rush, dumps it off across the middle, catch by Gordon, striding to the 20, and he handles at the 5, out of a tackle, alive, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Flash! Little drag route, hits him. There's two defenders there. They grab a foot. Here comes 3. He gets hit. 20-yard touchdown to start the season for Josh Gordon. Woo!
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Howe, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
It's just the greatest. We have been enjoying this Antonio Brown saga. Obviously, it's good for everyone. I'm sure when you heard the news that you went and you talked to guys around the league, what are you hearing about the chances when you talk to people around the league of this situation working itself out?
Well, the first time I really started to dig more into it was Saturday morning before the Raiders even released him, because I heard from people around the league or teams around the league that were working under the assumption that Antonio Brown was going to be a Patriot by the end of the day. And this was something that was, again, it was floating around teams because they kind of thought that this whole thing that Brown was doing in Oakland was just a ploy to get himself shot out of town and to hook on with a new team. And it's not too hard to connect the dots. I mean, the Patriots obviously checked in on Brown with the Steelers back in March. The Steelers, I guess, didn't want to send him there. I mean, if the Steelers really turned down a first-round pick to not send him to New England, that's wild. I mean, I can't imagine the decision-making process behind that one. But Brown probably thought at that point, wow, it'd be pretty cool to play for the Patriots. If there really is some true ill will toward Pittsburgh, what better way to stick it to that team than to go try to win a Super Bowl for the, you know, the one team that the Steelers truly hate. But then, obviously it didn't come to fruition, so what's the next best thing? Well, go try to get yourself $29 million guaranteed. And then when everything starts hitting the fan over the last month, then you realize it's not going to work there. You're probably not going to win a whole lot of games. What good is the money if you're not happy, I guess? And then just try to, again, shoot your way out of town. and find your way somehow in New England. So, look, if this was the greatest long con of possibly NFL history, then it's going to turn into Randy Moss 2.0 with the Patriots. If this whole theory the teams are working under around the league, you know, isn't true, and Brown really just, this is who Brown has become at this point in his career, then it's going to blow up, and he'll be shipped out of town in New England almost as fast as he was in Oakland. But again, I think there's just a lot of people who think that Brown just wanted to be a Patriot.
Okay, so he wanted to be a Patriot after things went wrong in Oakland, because he signed the deal intending to play in Oakland, right? Is anyone saying that's not true?
Well, no, of course.
Okay. All right, so it's not a long con so much as that, because when you talk, I've heard former players talking about it, in that Mayock just didn't know how to handle someone like that, and that when he was with the Steelers, it wasn't until he started getting into it with Roethlisberger and Schuster that they had to get rid of him. So these players' theories are, you know, it's all BS. I mean, there's no reason to, you know, screw with a star like that. And, you know, unless they're fighting with their teammates. And once they start fighting with their teammates, then it's time to start disciplining them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt that there were some problems going on in Pittsburgh, and it's starting to become more and more well-documented that Ben Roethlisberger isn't the world's greatest leader in that locker room either. And, you know, you see things like this from time to time with coaches like Mike Tomlin and Pete Carroll and John Harbaugh. You know, they're so emotional, and they're big-time, you know, they're hype guys. And locker rooms like that, you collect talent, you win some games, but every 3, 4, 5 years, you take a big-time dip because the personality and the culture in the locker room either changes or becomes a much more intense version of what it should be, and then the chemistry starts to waver and you fall apart. So guys like Antonio Brown start to become casualties of that. You try to ship them out and start over from square one. So I think a lot of that was probably true with what has happened recently in Pittsburgh. And then, yeah, I mean, Mayock, every GM, every first-time head coach deals with a lot of stuff that they simply can't prepare for without being in that seat. And that's something Bill Belichick has admitted. I mean, everybody's admitted that. Mayock and Gruden to a lesser extent, because he's gone through this before, but I mean, we can all kind of poke fun at Gruden for plenty of stuff. But until you kind of go through something like this, you don't really know how to handle it. And as for Brown, I mean, again, once you're traded, if you're not going to go to the team that you want, at least get as much guaranteed money as possible. But then, obviously, the theory is that just didn't make him happy either.
All right, Jeff, based on your conversations of the last 48 hours, what are the odds that both sides play nice and this turns into a Randy Moss season?
I think there's reason to be optimistic, at least at the start, because everybody seems to be happy. I mean, Tom Brady apparently invited him to live in his house. So you can everybody's playing nice at the moment. I mean, Joe Tooney told reporters yesterday in a group scrum that he met Brown and he seems like a very nice guy. And although I don't think Joe Tooney's ever met anybody he didn't like. But it's, I mean, again, it's 24 hours. It's a good start. And it's hard to predict what a guy like Antonio Brown is going to do. I mean, Bill Belichick gave this guy $10 million and upwards of 15 for a reason. It's because he expects him to be a legitimate contributor. So we sat there when it was more media-driven speculation the last week that Antonio Brown was in Oakland, that maybe he could become a Patriot. You know, we listed 100 reasons why it wouldn't make sense. Bill Belichick is the only guy that it matters to if it does make sense. And he believes that it's going to work.
Okay, what about, you know, off-the-field stuff, whatever, and locker room stuff, but everyone is saying, and I guess it's probably a fact, that Antonio Brown is not the biggest fan of, you know, keeping to the routes that he is supposed to, that he is not a technician all the time, that he's known to freestyle, and obviously, from what we know about the Patriots, is that's not something that Brady enjoys. Do you see that being a problem? Because that's the first thing I think would happen, is that would get him, people pissed off at him, and then him pissed off at them, is that he starts freestyling on the field. Is that a concern?
if that happens, then I mean, that hasn't been something that people have brought up to me, but look, I can't pretend that I know everybody. So if that is a legitimate concern, then yeah, of course. I mean, if he starts doing that stuff, Tom Brady's not going to look at him anymore. He's not going to start piling up the stats that he needs to reach that $5 million in incentives, or, you know, a million at a time or whatever, and then he starts to get angry. Yeah, I could absolutely see that being a scenario if that is something that has become a concern in his recent time or his recent years with the Steelers. I mean, if he starts running his own routes, the Steelers' offense is a lot different. But, yeah, again, if Tom Brady isn't going to trust you, it doesn't matter if you're Antonio Brown or Randy Moss or Gunnar Olszewski. He's just not going to throw the ball to you. And there's enough proven commodities around Tom Brady at this point, especially at the receiver position, that he's not going to have to rely on a guy like Antonio Brown if he can't truly trust that he's going to be there.
All right. One final question. You know, would you have made this deal? Because you see them on Sunday night, and, I mean, it was likely they were going to win the AFC anyway. How much, when you factor in how much does Brown make them better, you factor in his incentives for trying because he's got the $10 million guaranteed. Would you have made that deal?
I mean, it's like there's two ways. Like, I couldn't control a guy like Antonio Brown. Like, that's, I wouldn't be able to do that. Bill Belichick can. And this is like, it's almost a no-loss type of situation for Belichick, because if everything works out, then Belichick and Brown look like geniuses. You know, we're mentioning the long con. Potentially from Brown's perspective, I mean, Belichick doesn't have to give up a draft pick, only gives him $10 million guaranteed. If he reaches any of those incentives, that means he had a monster year. So Belichick would look like a genius. If everything goes off the rails, whether it's quickly or over the course of the season, I mean, shoot, look what happened last year when they started relying on Josh Gordon, and then they lost him. And then the team went on a 5-game winning streak and won the Super Bowl shortly thereafter. I mean, if things go off the rails with Antonio Brown, Bill Belichick can say, you're gone. And then he can look at the rest of the locker room on that next day's meeting and say, you know what? He didn't conform. He wasn't a Patriot. You guys who are still here are Patriots. You did the right thing. That's why you are here. That's why he's not. It doesn't matter how talented you are. You're not going to stick around. And Bill Belichick has done that over the course of his 2 decades as Patriots head coach. And the team will buy in, and then they'll move on like they have. Again, with a lot more high-profile names who have been shipped out in the past, guys who have had more decorated service tenures as Patriots. And so, again, if it comes to that, then Bill Belichick has a $10 million teaching tool that he sends to the locker room. So, again, that's why I'm saying it's almost like a no-lose situation if you're a guy who has as much power and authority as someone like Bill Belichick.
All right, Jeff Howe, he covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. Always appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good week.
All right, you too. It's time to call out the hot take police. We will have that. Here are the headlines. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Toucher. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Antonio, coach is on the line.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, coach?
What the hell's going on, man?
There's a villain all over the news, man.
And I don't know where you are in your life right now, losses to you. All I know is you got a lot of things going. There's a lot of people that have an opinion about you. And whether it be good or bad, you're in the spotlight all the time. Let me ask you this, do you want to be a Raider or not?
I've been trying to be a Raider since day one. I don't know why it's a question of me being a Raider. Like, do you guys want me to be a Raider?
Please stop the and just play football. How hard is it, man? You're a great football player. Just play football.
Yeah, man, I'm more than a football player, man. I'm a real person. It ain't about the football. I know how to do that. I'll show you guys down the daily.
Fox Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, the phone call with John Gruden that Antonio Brown illegally taped. And according to the director of that little vignette that they made, Gruden was all about it once they informed him that he was part of that video, which Gruden tried everything. And then my opinion is that Gruden tried everything and Mayock overstepped his bounds. But that's what do I know? All right, Rich, it is time to do what?
I think we're going to have to call these guys.
Hot take police.
Hot take police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
I think this is much less a hot take as somebody who felt that they had to come up with a hot take. And just hearing a guy get fired up who really doesn't. It's like kind of not the most believable man to get fired up. He seems like the most emotionless person I've ever met. As almost as he's like a talking, like he's a speaking spell.
He's a talking subway commercial.
Yeah, he's like an ESPN speaking spell. Just put the words into him that you want him to say, and he will very blandly spit them out.
What is the who's the guy who hosts like the Golic show now?
Trey Wingo.
Trey Wingo?
Do you remember when Trey Wingo got really upset about something dumb? And he just like, and he just started. Oh God, what was
right? It was just like an insincere hot take,
yeah,
right?
Like it was just, yeah, like he was like.
Somebody
really,
told him to get angry.
Yeah, he was like really mad about something, and it wasn't like anything like quirky. Like it was just really dumb.
That's what this is, Fred. You nailed it. This sounds like somebody told Greenberg to get angry, and he was like, "All right, here we go. I'm about to rip people's faces off. You're about to have your skin melted." Here comes a hot Antonio Brown take.
I almost am reticent to play this because then everyone will just tune to get up. All right, here we go.
If indeed it is what it now appears to be, I thought we were watching a person who was just falling apart, to be completely honest with you. But listening to Chris Mortensen and others yesterday and now here this morning, when it seems this was all an orchestrated attempt to get himself out of a situation, what we have just witnessed is the most unprofessional act that I can ever remember seeing in professional sports, and I've been covering this stuff for 30 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, that's some flames we got going on. The most unprofessional. And, of course, yesterday it was kind of fun watching people tweet things about, like, Mike Tyson biting the ear off of Evander Holyfield in the middle of a boxing ring.
By the way, even if he was trying to shoot his way out of town, he, A, lost a ton of money, and B, it's still crazy. Like, he couldn't find a way other than taping Gruden and making some weird video. I mean, like, it's not like he's some shrewd genius. He cost himself an ass load of money and did weird crap and really hurt his reputation.
He may have cost himself a lot of money. He could still make it up in the next 2 years after this one's done.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
he behaves himself.
Saying. Yes.
If he's able to put his personality aside and play nice for 3 months.
He's 32 years old.
He cost himself guaranteed money.
He's 32 years old, and they're going to, and if say he has a good year this year, they're just going to go, well, you know, he was the Patriot.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing him in. And how much money are you going to give a 33-year-old? I mean, just everything changes.
He's not getting five. He's going to get 2 years. Maybe three if he gets to the right team.
I mean, he cost himself a lot of money. Anyway, irregardless.
By the way, Wingo was pissed about fans not liking the Super Bowl last year. He was like, you can't sit there for four hours. And if you didn't like the game, don't watch it. Shut the hell up. That was Wingo.
If you don't
he was
like
upset
the game,
about
don't
that.
Watch it?
Yes. Well, you don't sit there for 4 hours and complain about it. He was upset about that.
Dick, first of all, don't tell me what to like and what not to like. Now I'm getting pissed. And second of all, you know, we don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
There's no review of, like, you can't, like, put up Rotten Tomatoes and see how the Super Bowl did. It's happening live, dum-dum. And by the way, it's you know, there's parties and things that people have. It's a bit of an event. Don't complain. Don't complain about the... I'm doing it. I'm doing exactly what he did. Don't complain about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
F you, you son of a bitch. Don't complain about the Super Bowl. Oh, no, it's so sacred. Oh, no, that game sucked. It was boring as hell. If you're a Patriots fan, God bless you. Don't complain about... Oh, I can't imagine anything more un-American than complaining about a boring Super Bowl game. Then don't watch it. Then don't watch... What a dumb thing to say. Don't watch it. Well, I didn't know it was going to suck. Like, if I knew it was going to suck so bad, maybe I wouldn't have watched it.
Right, if you'd have told me ahead of time how this is all going to go down.
Yeah, it's not an episode of Mr. Belvedere. Like, you know, playing in Harvard, you know, like, in intelligentsia. I mean, you know to, like, avoid it. Like, when the new Kevin James show comes out.
You know to avoid
you're
that.
You're like, yeah, man, maybe I won't watch
right.
that.
If you came in and complained, man, that was awful. It wasted my... That's 2 hours I'll never get back. Well, you knew it was going to suck. It's Kevin James.
Yeah, exactly. This, you know, the thing with sports is the unpredictability of it. Dumbass. Don't complain. No. Couldn't complain.
And there is no obvious reason at this point to believe Antonio Brown gives a damn about anyone Ooh. But himself. Ooh. Now, that may very well work out fine in New England. Right. And the good news for them is they lose nothing if it doesn't. They looked awfully good without him last night. What he can't do is bring them down. Their culture is much too strong.
Right. Absolutely.
To be brought down by anything
sure.
in their clubhouse. But there is no reason at all to believe Antonio Brown cares about anything at this point besides himself.
Ooh, so he's doing the whole Antonio Brown is selfish thing.
And then he hedged his bets completely by saying that the Patriots can handle it. I mean, that's not even a take. That's Antonio Brown is a selfish guy, yes. But the Patriots, you know, are a good organization and they got nothing to lose. Well, all right. Well, then what's the problem? Antonio Brown is selfish, yes. Yes, so is every good receiver.
The most unprofessional act yeah, I can know. Remember I mean, seeing in professional
on.
Sports.
I mean, come on. You know, like killing a guy is pretty unprofessional.
I would say, yes, like, you know, beating family members, that's probably pretty unprofessional, I would think.
You know, Charles Haley playing with himself in
meeting room. Yeah, that's unprofessional.
That's pretty bad.
Yes. Peeing in guys' cars.
Yeah. Tonya Harding, I would say that was a fairly unprofessional situation.
Move. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, the guy who hit
running into the stands and fighting fans.
Ron Artest, very unprofessional.
The guy who hit Tom Janovich in the face and ruined his career.
Kevin Washington.
Yes. Right. I mean, there's plenty of things that are unprofessional.
I mean... How about even just, like, throwing at a guy's head on purpose in a baseball game?
Yeah, throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at a guy's ear flap. That's pretty unprofessional.
So, yes, there's been plenty of more unprofessional things.
I just love how when it comes from him, it's like, all right, Greenberg, you got to get fired up on this one. We're going viral today, baby.
It was unprofessional. Well, yeah. I mean, okay. And sometimes it's just stating the obvious. Like, what are you so fired up about? Yeah, what he did was real weird. He taped the coach and made a hype video about it without the coach's knowledge. I mean, that's weird. Yes, indeed. All right, we will be back in just a moment. Coming up at 8 o'clock, we have your Armpits of America.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass afternoons.
I think 19-0 is on the table.
I do.
And I'll tell you what.
After last night, I do feel that way.
If I'm going to have to watch this puke and listen to this guy every week, might as well go 19-0 because at least that's a good story. And I would say, all this whole run, this 20 years, you've got one last piece of unfinished business, and that's 19-0. And that's the cost of having to look at this guy because make no mistake, he's a joke, and it's a joke of a signing.
But it ain't Robert's fault.
And I'm a fellow coach. I'm looking at Bill.
Felger and Mass, weekdays at 2.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Unfair, fair, I don't know. The team already sent a statement. They wanted to make sure, you know, that we appreciate what they did as an organization. I know for some people it's probably not enough. For others, maybe it is. I'm just here like every day, you know, just to talk to you people, whatever you guys want to talk about, you know. From my end, like I said yesterday, I was very surprised.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher Rich. That's Cora talking about the firing of Dombrowski and how none of the ownership or no one in the front office would talk about it, which is odd because even though you might disagree with it, it's not an insane notion that this is what they were supposed to do.
No, and he wasn't like a guy that was widely beloved, kind of like, you know, Terry Francona, as we've talked about, even Theo Epstein, where you might get some backlash. I don't think anybody really was clamoring, why are you firing this guy?
No, and if you know anything about Dombrowski's history, is that he did what they wanted him to do. He came in, he won a World Series, he gutted the farm system, and now they can't do that again. So they have to bring someone in who can.
So this was so weird. Yesterday,
do something different, by the way.
Yesterday, Alex Cora is left by himself 22 minutes to answer questions about a firing that he didn't do.
Yeah, and by the way, just stop there for a second. Alex Cora's had a rough year. Yes. For as good as he was last year, he's struggled this year, partly because of the problems that Dombrowski left him with, but also, you know, managerial decisions, whatever, starting, you know, openers and starting guys when they shouldn't have started, whatever the case may be. To leave a manager like that, guy who just won a World Series for you last year and is struggling this year, has a lot of problems of his own to deal with, to discuss the fallout of upper management alone is, I can't remember another franchise locally having done that to somebody.
There's no reason Sam Kennedy should at least be there. There's no reason John Henry shouldn't be there. And on top of that, if you believe in your conspiracy theorist that they fired Dave Dombrowski the night that the Patriots hung their sixth banner on purpose to kind of make it so they wouldn't get any flack or people wouldn't be crapping on the Red Sox. Well, which, by the way, Fred, once again, I disagree that anyone really would have.
And by the way, you're out of the playoff picture. Like, it's not like people's all eyes are on the organization. I think they live in a fantasy land
where everyone's thinking about them constantly.
Yeah, like, no one, almost no one is invested in this team anymore.
You've gone from a 108-win season, and everyone was watching you. The run you guys went on was historic. You beat a lot of great teams. You beat the Dodgers convincingly in the World Series, and you were able to thump your chest and go, look at us. Look at how good we did, to hiding in the middle of the night, at midnight?
So think
really?
About it. If you believe that they dumped that story on the night where no one would make it look bad, I do
sure
too. And if you also are somebody who thinks it's ridiculous that ownership did not sit down and answer questions and left Alex Cora out to hang, then you're going to look at what they did last night with an extra skeptical eye, because about 45 minutes before the game, out of nowhere, there was an announcement that David Ortiz was going to make his very first public appearance since being shot, left in critical condition, and he was going to make out the first pitch during the game. 45 minutes before the game, they made that announcement, and he did, and here's how it sounded.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we welcome home one of the most beloved people ever to wear the Red Sox uniform. Won't you please welcome the symbol of resilience, strength, triumph, and love, our one and only Big Poppy, Red Sox Hall of Famer number 34, David Ortiz. Catching his pitch is his friend and former teammate, Jason Varitek.
Good evening, good evening. Hey, first of all, I want to thank God for giving me a second opportunity in my life to be able to be here with all of you. I want to thank the Red Sox, my real family. They always have been there for me, supporting me. They were aware of what happened to me, and they were the first one there supporting me. Thank you very much, Red Sox family. I want to thank all of you for all the prayers. All of them came home. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I want to thank my former teammates for being there for me. Also, all of them came home to check up on his boy. Also, I want to thank the Yankees. A lot of my boys over there came and check up on Big Poppy. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. God bless you all. Go Sox.
Okay, first of all, and most importantly, Ortiz looks great. He was, as I said, he moved perfectly fine. It didn't look like he had any kind of limp or anything like that. I mean, he looks great, and that's great news. But that was so weird. I mean, think about it. This is the first public appearance of Big Poppy in the public eye after almost dying, being on the brink of death. And I was thinking about it last night. This was supposed to be a moment. Like one that you would show in videos and montages, like him walking onto the field, one of the most beloved people in Boston.
Something you publicize a week or two out.
But it didn't even, the stands weren't even full. And we had somebody tweet us who was at the game who said, we had no idea David Ortiz was going to do that. So they missed it. Remy and Eckersley even said that they had no idea it was going to happen until 30 minutes beforehand. And on a Monday before a meaningless game, it was just rushed, thrown together, and the timing was so questionable, and it made you wonder if Ortiz was being used as a pawn to cover up what happened with Dave Dombrowski and what's been going on in the past 24 hours. And if that's the case, man, David Ortiz deserved better. And last night was just strange.
Well, they're delusional if they think that they needed to do it in that fashion.
It was almost depressing. It was like, my God, this is something that he honestly needed there to be this huge moment. I mean, you heard the crowd. You would have thought, okay, if you would have told me, hey, what's going to happen when David Ortiz makes his first appearance? Let's say he throws out the first pitch of the game. I would say, well, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a video montage before he goes out there. The crowd's going to get crazy. They're going to publicize it for a couple days. And there is going to be a 3 to 5 minute standing ovation as he walks out there. They're going to show people in the crowd. There's probably going to be a couple people are going to tear up. It's going to be this massive feel-good moment. His family's all going to be there. It's going to be this huge thing. And none of that happened. And you look at what's happened with this team and them dumping the news and then the owner not going out there. It just completely stinks.
But it didn't
have
to.
Of them trying to cover up any kind of bad will that the Red Sox got.
But it didn't have to be. And Fred has said this earlier, and I completely agree with him. This wasn't a controversial decision.
No, it wasn't.
There were going to be a lot of softball questions that are going to be easy to knock out of the park when you sat down in front of the media. This isn't firing the manager who won you a World Series last year and by all accounts is very popular everywhere. This is a guy who did his job and was on his way out, whose contract was up after next year.
And is ill-equipped to handle what they need to do right now, which is they can't just go out and sign every free agent.
This is kind of like an 8-year-old that lies and gets caught in the lie because he lies again. You know, they made it 10 times worse by not addressing it immediately.
Well, they're delusional. They're just delusional that it would have been on anyone's radar, like that it would have caused outrage.
See, to me, it's more than them just firing Dombrowski. I think it's the embarrassment of not making the playoffs after winning the World Series last year.
Well, then have Ortiz come back next year. I don't know.
Fred, I agree with you.
I mean, if you're embarrassed by everything, then do it that way.
If you would have seen it, like Bird was at the game. He was working it last night, and he said it was just odd. Like, after he left, like people kind of sat down like, was that David Ortiz? There are people still coming in from the concession stands. If you announce it 45 minutes before the game and you're at the game, you're trying to find parking, you're trying to get your tickets, you're trying to get your food and everything.
Or you don't feel like coming in.
So you have no idea this is going to happen. So there's people who, like, imagine that. You're standing in line for, like, hot dogs, and you hear David Ortiz speaking, like, oh, my God, that's the first public appearance of David Ortiz, and that's the kind of reaction he got. People were shocked. It sure as hell wasn't a 3 to 5 minute standing ovation that you thought I was going to get. The stands didn't seem full.
Did they really think that this would gloss things over by putting Ortiz out there?
And that
in itself is idiotic. Okay, Ortiz doesn't show up. Does that really change things?
The worst thing of all of this is that for some unknown reason, they believed that there was going to be an outpouring of passion about them getting rid of Dave Dombrowski. That is what the silliest thing of all this is.
It really is. It really
Who's
is ridiculous.
Paid to read the room? Whoever it is should be fired.
They live in a fantasy land. Like, no one would. No, I mean, agree or disagree with it. It's not something that you can't. At least
explain.
All right. Anyway, so we will have a very, very brief headlines, and then we will come back.
You're laughing, Fred.
We'll come back and we will do armpits of them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.